And right at the end of chapter 2 before we began chapter 3. The burning bush. The burning bush is God's way of showing His power, and uses a bush that will not burn up to call Moses into duty. So, what? He comes in. The bush is not burning up. God tells him, the ground you are walking on is holy. Take your sandals off. And by the way, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, of your fathers. Okay, so then we get to chapter 3. And we pick up the good story of Moses. Is it? I'm sorry, it is at the beginning. I just now got my thing online. I'm having trouble with my Bible. And if I have any more, I'm going to get the written word out. Okay, sorry about that. It is. It's at the beginning of chapter 3, the burning bush. At the end of chapter 2, we see the story of him and his family. Okay, so he's pasturing the sheep. He's called. Now, he goes to see. And verse 6, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. I believe a sign of reverence for this, for he was afraid to look at God. And he said, the Lord says, I've seen the affliction of the people, and the cry of the sons of Israel has come before me. And I've seen the oppression. And then verse 10. What great work does starting in verse 10 and down. I put some verses on there. We won't read all those verses. I'm sure y'all have read them. But in verse 10 it says, therefore come now, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. And then in verse 11, Moses says of chapter 3, who am I? I'm not anybody special. I'm just a shepherd. I'm over here as an alien in this land. He's in Midian. He said, who am I, God, that you should call me to do this? Okay? That I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. And then in verse 12 and following, God gives him some reason, something that he's going to help him. He's not going to leave him alone. Is it an easy work? No. Is it impossible? No. Why? God is going to be with him. Verse 12. What does God tell Moses? 3:12.
That shall be with him and give him signs that prove that he will be with him.
Okay. Is it a sign right then? Did he do something right then? Of course, the burning bush is not burning up, and you know. And the God of heaven is talking from this bush. And evidently there's a presence there because Moses won't look at him. And so, but he gives him a prophetic sign. You're going to worship me in this mountain. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Moses is not going to see it for a while. But he says, you're going to worship me here on this mountain. In other words, you're going to bring the people out. This is going to happen. How can you get to this mountain with those people and worship me if they're still over in Egypt in bondage? God said, you're going to worship me here. So, verse 20 of chapter 3, what'd you put down? What?
I put miracles.
What did anybody else put? Yeah? Yeah. Stretch up my hand with miracles. And that was especially the plagues, because he's talking, and strike Egypt. There were going to be other miracles. The staff, the snake, the blood of the Nile. But the plagues, ending with the death of the firstborn, as we'll see, Lord willing, in our study of Egypt, in our next study, that's what's going to do it for Pharaoh. That's going to prove to Pharaoh, to Egypt, and to the Israelites, I am the Lord. There is no God besides me. I'm the Lord. And what I say will happen and will go. Okay. Now, in 4, 11, and 12. Let's go over there. Moses has started giving what? What's he started to do to God?
Make excuses.
We start our making excuses sometimes, don't we? When we're faced with something that seems hard, that is going to take courage, it's going to take work, that's going to cost us maybe something dear to us, we start making excuses on why we can't do it. And here, he's talking about his speech. He's not very eloquent, you know. He's a prince in Egypt for a long time. He was educated. But he may have had a little speech issue. The Holy Spirit, God, of course, is going to give him what to say. And that's what we're dealing with. Verse 11 and 12. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, and I will be your mouth to teach you what to say." Is there any greater promise than that? I'll be with you. And by the way, don't worry, Moses. I'm going to tell you what to say. All you got to do is show up, have the courage, and do what I say. Any thoughts on those verses around there? I will give you what to say.
He keeps questioning it over and over and over again. Like, you're lucky he doesn't.
Yeah, God's patience, isn't it? God's patient. Not only that, God understands. In fact, Lord willing, we'll talk about this at the end about what we learn from this. God knew Moses. He knew his limitations. He knew what he needed. And we're dealing with what he provides. So let's just put it to us. When we have someone to go talk to, and we say, "Well, I don't know what to say," what's the best thing to do before you go talk to somebody?
Pray.
Pray. What else?
Read about what you need to talk to them about, so you've got some passages to deal.
Look what God says about it, and go tell them what God says. You know, I'll give you what to say. I'm not going to leave you alone, Moses. I'll be with you. And by the way, this is what you say. Now, we're not going to tell old Pharaoh to let Egypt go. But we may have to tell someone to let some sin in their life go. Or encourage someone whose faith is not as strong as it used to be. But it comes up to looking at the character of Moses. That's why I felt it important to look at the character of him. And the patience that even God had with him, but the courage and the humility and the compassion that we're going to see as the story goes on. the love that he had for these people. Okay, and the love of God first and foremost. Okay, so in chapter 4, 14 through 16. Now, in chapter 4, God's getting a little angry with him. And he says, is there, because he's talking still about, you know, telling him what he's going to say. And Moses is still probably thinking about, you know, my speech is not all that good. Lord, I don't care if you do tell me what to say. You know, you can just see maybe some thinking here, you know, in the excuse frame of mind. I still can't say it, you know. God even helps him here. In 4:14, it says, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. Has Aaron come up in the last 80 years? Aaron's over here in Egypt. God sees the Israelites. God sees Aaron. God sees Moses. God chooses Aaron. God sends Aaron. It's not Moses, send word to Aaron and he'll come over and help you. Aaron is already on his way and he's going to be happy to see you. And you know what? Wouldn't you just love to be on the inside story of that? But the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us all that stuff. You know. The important thing is, he's coming out to meet you. That's God's providence in the lives of men. Just something simple as that. Here comes your brother, and he'll be glad to see you in his heart. And you're to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Even I will be with your mouth. You'll tell him what to say, and he'll teach you the people. See God's plan? God worked the plan. God worked the problem. God's providence helped Moses to do the job. To say, I'm going. Okay. So, in 4:17, what did y'all put down that God did for Moses? The staff down, the rod, the staff, showed him a sign. Okay? So, you shall perform the signs with this staff. Dividing the Red Sea. The staff in, the staff out. The staff in, the waters come. God's doing this, but Moses had to use the staff. Okay. Any questions so far or comments? He was able to perform signs. 17 says, you shall take in your hand this staff in which you perform the signs. And then 14:19, I didn't have that on your list, but he gives him comfort from past fears. You know, I've tried this so many times and it didn't work out, God. What makes me think that talking to somebody or trying to help somebody or doing this is going to work out this time? We get discouraged. God tells Moses just one little simple thing. You know all those men over there that were seeking your life that you fled from? They're dead. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Past fears. We get comfort sometimes from saying, we don't have to be afraid of that anymore. What about the sins in our lives? We do not have to be afraid of God calling to our account the sins that are past in our life because Jesus' blood covers it. We don't have to be afraid of bad things that people might say. God will take care of that. We just need to trust Him and do what we need to do. And God's telling that to Moses. Don't worry about that. Your job is this. So, 7:1. This is really important. What did you put down for 7:1?
Aaron is a prophet.
Even something more important than that.
Moses does not.
I will make you as God to Pharaoh. Now here's Pharaoh. By the way, he's God in his eyes. Pharaoh is his own God. He is God. He has all these many gods and everything, but he's God in his sight. Who is the Lord that I should serve him? Is his question over again. So, I will make you as God. What does that denote?
Power.
Authority. Do we see this happening as things come about? Leader with power. Authority, lawgiver, God speaking. We'll see this. Moses is not just going to tell the people something that he thinks sounds good or that he come up with or that's going to be good at the moment. He's speaking as God. And God is going to show the people that very thing by what he does with his power. He's not going to just tell Moses that and leave him standing there. He's going to back it up. God backs up his promises. And with Moses, we see this over and over again. So, who did the Lord say he was that would encourage the Israelites and assure Moses that everything he's saying is true? Who is he? The I Am. And then, of course, in chapter 6, let's turn over there to Exodus, the 6th chapter. And Lauren, would you read verses 6 through 8?
Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and a great judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord.
Okay. I am the Lord. The I Am. And these are the promises he makes. And as we see, the stream of time, God keeps every one. This is the promises God made. He uses his word and his promise. He uses his servant Moses. He uses his servant Aaron, Miriam. He even brings in Jethro to help Moses. He's going to bring this about. And we see as we read the chapters, that God is working and God is bringing about this, and how Moses is carrying out the word of God. It doesn't always look pretty, and it's not always pleasant. So we carry them. We're going to hopefully look at the plagues under Egypt. But as we leave chapter 6, we go into chapter 7 through 12. We see the miracles and we see the workings of God. We see the plagues. And then in chapter 14, okay, let's go to chapter 14 right quick. In Exodus 14, we have the crossing of the Red Sea. We have the bringing out. We have the Exodus, as Lauren said earlier. We see God's powerful works through Moses bringing the people out. The people get afraid. There's the cloud between them. They walk across on dry land. God tells Moses to put his staff back down in the water. The water comes back. God's name is proclaimed throughout Egypt because of what happens to Pharaoh and his servants that day. And not only that, but as Steve commented, way over in Jericho, the story is told of how God defeated the Egyptians that day. The Exodus. And so, they come out. They travel. There's murmurings. There's manna. There's these things. They come to Sinai. And we're going to pick up Moses there. Chapter 20. But first, let's go to chapter 19, verses 18 through 21. Nadine, can you read, please? Chapter 19, 18 through 21.
Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down and warn the people so that they do not break through to the Lord.
That's okay. That's good. Okay. I gave you some verses to read and to answer. What does God do to show Israel that Moses is his chosen prophet? This is over the period of time that they're there. Okay. What did you put down first from the readings?
Thunder, lightning, smoking mountain. Sound.
Yeah.
Loud.
That's what God did. He showed himself, didn't he? He showed himself as the powerful God. But as we go to read, let's go to chapter 20. Okay? In Exodus 20, 18 through 22, all the people perceived the thunder and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin." So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Chapter 22, then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven." Chapter 24, 2. Let's start with 1. And he said, "Moses, Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. And then in 33:8-11, God spoke to Moses face to face, it says in verse 8, as a man speaks to a friend in the tent of meeting. In Numbers 12, God justifies Moses as his faithful servant. He's being challenged here in Numbers 12 by none other than Aaron and Miriam. Are you the only spokesman for God? And God answers. He says, I have spoken to Moses openly, mouth to mouth, not in a vision or a dark thing. The only one who had seen his form. Moses is different. Moses is treated by God as different from his prophet, other spokespeople, even from Aaron, through whom Moses will be the prophet. But Moses is as God. Moses is a faithful servant. He spoke only mouth to mouth to Moses. What do these passages make clear in your mind?
The one that God's promise came true.
What else? That's true.
Moses was God's spokesman. People needed to listen. Moses
is as God to these people. He is the leader. He will give them God's law. He's on the mountain. He's getting the law. Listen up, people. You better listen to me.
Seems like the closest relationship,
right,
from human to the Lord next to Jesus that we have early recorded for us.
Right. And in Exodus 34, you know, and in Nehemiah and in John 1, all those verses that I gave you, you know, they're speaking of Moses as the giver of the law, as what God expects the people to obey. You keep this. The words through Moses that I gave. Even Jesus. In Luke 24:44, talks about the law of Moses. And when Jesus is on the earth teaching, He's reading, he reads from the Septuagint, the Pentateuch, and the law. Jesus recognized Moses and the law he gave as God's truth. And that is what God wanted the Israelites to know. And he went to great, powerful measures to do it. Okay. Any questions there? In Exodus 32:9-14 and 33:12-23, what's happening there in Exodus 32? We all know the story. The golden calf. Where's Moses at the time? He's getting the law up on the mountain. You delayed. He's up there 40 days and 40 nights. And the people are like us. They get impatient. They get afraid. And, of course, they've been living for 400 years in an adulterous nation, and some of them brought them along with them. And so they say, let's make us a god. Now, where were they when the plagues were going on? Where were they when they crossed the Red Sea? we can say that. No. Not me, Lord.
Aaron was helping them do it.
Yeah. He threw the earrings into the fire. Let's make this golden calf, Aaron. You know. By the way, you're the prophet, you know. You're the one speaking for Moses. The words that Moses gives. Okay, so what does here again? The character of Moses. He comes down, of course, he breaks the tablets and he has to go back up and he gets them and he comes back down, you know. But God gets really mad. We say, well, why God? You know, what's so wrong about this? You know, after all, these people are just people. But look at all God had done. Look at what God expects from his people. He doesn't expect this. He knows men. He knows their weaknesses. But God's not happy. In fact, what's God going to do?
He's going to just kill them.
He's going to destroy them. What does Moses do? In every instance of disobedience, we have one with the golden calf God saying, I'm not going to go before you. And Moses steps up. And then in Numbers 14, which I didn't put on your lesson, the 10 spies come back. And all the people listen to the spies and they don't listen to Joshua and Caleb and trust the Lord. And God comes up again. I'm going to destroy the nation. And I'm going to start with you, Moses, and I'm going to build a nation. What does Moses do? Okay, Lord, that sounds good to me.
He begs for them to do it.
He stands between them and God, doesn't he?
It's interesting. It's always because he doesn't want the people to go bad. It's not that he's so concerned about the people, I think. It's that,
that's
God,
right.
You brought these people out here. Now, if you destroy them, people are going to say this was your purpose, or you just didn't have the power to bring them where you told them to.
Exactly. And that was one of my main points. I'm glad Pat brought it up. Moses is still this most humble man that was on the earth at the time. Not only that, Moses probably knows and remembers the promise to Abraham that through his seed all the world would be, and Isaac and Jacob, you know. Now the law has not given. Yeah, go ahead.
Because Moses was an Israelite.
Exactly. He was of the tribe of Levi.
That was not given.
No. And the law, as far as the priesthood, maybe he had gotten it there yet, but it's not written as yet in the Pentateuch. So Moses, though, loves the people. He is not puffed up. Oh, yeah, Lord, that sounds good. You know, everything will be more lovely if you make me from a nation. And like Pat said, it would still be according to the law, to the promise of Abraham. But he reasons. I like the word there. He reasons with God. He's sort of talking to God. Now, God, do you really want to do this? You know? Can you imagine the courage and the faith that it took to do that? He stood between them to persuade God not to destroy the people. And as Pat said, because he was looking to God's glory among the nations. So, what character traits do we see? Courage, allegiance, trustworthiness, faithfulness as God's prophet and leader of his people. Always putting the well-being of the ones that he is leading or serving, whether it be God or the people, over himself. That's a great lesson for us to learn. That we put others before us, through our well-being, even when we have to step up with courage, even though we have to do something that's uncomfortable, to do what's right. To bring about God's glory. Sometimes we have to stand for truth. And his humility. He thought more of God and his glory than being a father of a great nation. And in 33:13, let's close with this. There is an attitude that we see throughout Moses' life. And it says, "Let me know your ways, that I might know you, so that I might find favor in your sight." One little verse, and right down in that verse, "Let me know your ways." We can pray that. It may not be answered in the same way as Moses was answered in so many ways. But God shows us his ways. He shows himself so that we can find favor in his sight. Any other thoughts? Lord willing, we will finish that and get into Egypt next week.